Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. We have a great show for you today. I'm very, very excited about today's show, and we're going to jump right in very, very quickly. But I first must introduce my friend, for the last couple of years now, as we've been doing this show together, Mr. Kevin Finn. Kevin is a master at the control board and is a very accomplished host, hosting a number of shows here at Business Radio X. How in the world are you, Kevin?
I'm doing good, Ricky. I survived a snowpocalypse, so here I am to tell the story.
Snow Jam 1 and 2 we had in 2014.
Exactly. I loved it.
It was interesting. We all got our own interesting stories about how that happened. And fortunately, I don't know if you were, but I was not one of the ones caught out for 6, 12, 15, or 2 days.
I was only 4 hours in. I look back and look at that and say, yeah, I was only out there for 4 hours getting home.
I guess that's good. Our goal on Booth 61 each and every week is to try to build community and allow the rising tide to lift all the boats. My two guests today are doing this not only in their day-to-day business life, but also in their passionate dedication to make Atlanta and our community and the world a better place for us all to live. Today we got a number of people in the studio, some old friends and a new one, and I'm going to take a minute to introduce these good folks to you, and then we'll jump right into the questions. I'm very honored to have the chairman of this year's United Way IT Initiative, Mrs. Becky Blaylock, who's in here with us today. And I've known Becky for quite some time, probably 12 years, maybe a little longer, probably maybe 15. But most everyone listening to this show is going to know who Becky Blaylock is. She was, of course, the first female CIO of the Southern Company, which is just one of the many glass ceilings that Becky has busted through during her extraordinary career. Becky's also a best-selling author with the release of her book, Dare. And if you have not read this book, shame on you. Go to the BeckyBlaylock.com website and order it today. It is a life changer. I've said this before, and I happily say it again. Becky is someone that everyone knows, everyone loves, and everyone respects in our industry. It's a great honor to have her here with us today. I'm also delighted to have an executive with the United Way in the booth this afternoon, Mr. Keith Barsoon. Keith, I had not met before, but I had a chance to have lunch today. Very fascinating individual. He's going to tell us what's going on with the United Way and how the CIO community is interacting, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Keith is a United Way superstar, long-term executive, having his United Way career over the past 30 years. He's actually been the president of the United Way in both Greensboro, North Carolina, and Stark County, which is part of Canton, Ohio. And Keith has got a lot of great visions. He's running marketing and fundraising, and he's doing a lot of great things for United Way here in Atlanta, Georgia, working with all of our friends there. But without further ado, welcome to Booth 61, Becky and Keith.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you so much, Ricky.
We're glad to have you here. I want to ask you guys a series of questions. Some will be directed to one of you or the other, but either one of you feel free to jump in. And, of course, we've got two lifelines in the room if we need them. We've got Carl Jennings, who is another United Way executive who has been on this show before. Carl's a Canadian who came here to run track for the University of Tennessee, an Olympics athlete and a dear friend, and doing a great job in the technology community for the United Way. We also have Miss Jess Jones in the audience today, or in the studio today. Most of you know Jess as the one that tweets and Instagrams and keeps up with everything going on Booth 61. Jess, what hashtag are you using today for today's show?
At J Jess, J Jones.
At J. Oh, excuse me. At Jess, J E S S.
No, it's J Jess, J Jones.
I'll get this in a minute. At J Jess, J E S S Jones. And that's the hashtag. And then there's also a hashtag for United Way today for the campaign. That is hashtag IT United ATL and at J Jess Jones.
It's confusing.
J J E S S J J O N E S. That's J J E S S J J O N E S at Jess Jones. And she's the Double J Ranch, I assume. Anyway, without further ado, we're going to start jumping in some questions. And if anyone has a question you'd like to ask the either panel or myself, you can call in. And that call-in number, Kevin, is?
The call-in number is 678-638-6253. That's 678-638-6253.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, let's begin. It's kind of foundationally set the theme for today with the United Way story. And I'll have to start with Keith. Well, when was United Way founded, and where was it founded? And then kind of how did we get the Atlanta organization off the ground?
Well, the first United Way dates all the way back to about 1887 in Denver, Colorado. The success the Denver community was experiencing as they went into the industrial age began to grow poverty in a significant way. And actually, four ministers of all different faiths came together and developed the first organized response to help people in poverty and people in need. And that started the movement around the country. And in 1902, Joseph Logan started the United Way, and interesting because of back then, the Snowmageddon of Atlanta. It was actually a terrible ice storm that devastated the Atlanta community, and Joseph Logan got out of bed and rallied people together to help their fellow residents, and there started an organized response, a charitable response to help people in need here in Atlanta.
Quite exciting, and so 110-year anniversary, roughly 114 years here. Correct. In Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I think is interesting is Ivan Allen was actually one of the first leaders of a formal United Way campaign in 1911, and at that time there were 50 business leaders who came together, and combined they contributed $6,000, which was a lot of money back in 1911, but we have come a long way since then. Last year's campaign was $77 million, and the needs are great. United Way is a key part of helping address some of the challenges we have in Atlanta.
No question. I love how our community has come around United Way in such a powerful way, especially the IT community. Mm-hmm. What's the overall goal for this year's Atlanta United Way campaign, and perhaps how much of that do we hope to the technology community contributes?
Well, the overall goal this year in the campaign is $75 million. We adjusted the base a bit before we launched this year's campaign, as we're really getting laser-focused on donors and companies to continue that support. And we're very proud of our IT community because the technology companies alone account for about 10% of that, about $7 million plus. And but you know, I think of it beyond that. I think of it beyond, because of all the CIOs and IT executives and staff within the 1,100 companies that support United Way. And you know, we can't put a dollar amount on that today, but you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars more. So I would make the case that that IT professionals here in Greater Atlanta and the 13 county United Way that we represent probably is in excess of $10 million or more.
Well, that is great. That is fantastic. Becky, I want to start with you, but I want Keith to jump in on this one as well. Why should someone consider the United Way as a good place to invest your money to, you know, better our community or be a place that that you want to contribute?
You know, it's hard to know if whether or not you make a donation is really going somewhere where it has highest and best impact. And I was for many years on the board of a nonprofit here in Atlanta, and I was impressed with United Way, which provided most of the funding for our organization. Had it not been for United Way, we would not have had the financial means to keep this organization up and running. And every year, United Way came in and did a very in-depth study on our organization. In fact, we would get very nervous about the fact that if the money was not being spent in a way where it was really generating relief for people in the community, we were afraid that we wouldn't get the money the next year. And what that taught me is that United Way does a good job of making sure that the dollars you invest in them go somewhere where they truly can have the most impact. And I don't know that you have that same assurance with other organizations that you might give your money to. It's a nationally run organization. We have some of the most talented people running our United Way here in Atlanta of anywhere in the country. In fact, Keith, I think the United Way campaign in Atlanta is like the third largest in the country.
That's correct. And, you know, what's important, I believe, about those dollars, it's about how we bring people together with those dollars and think about solutions to some of our community's most difficult problems. Our effort around homelessness. We believe no one should be homeless, chronically homeless in our community. And our goal is to organize resources, good minds, other ways people can work together, just like Joseph Logan did back in that ice storm, to get people to work together to really go, look at the big picture and solve the problem, to develop the expertise on how to look at results of organizations and promote the best of the best.
You know, those of us that live here sometimes, I think, are just not as aware as we need to be of how great the needs are in Atlanta. You know, if you have a job and you're employed, you just don't get exposed to the many issues. But Atlanta's got its fair share of challenges. We are number one in the country in terms of child impoverishment. And 40% of the families in the metropolitan Atlanta area are just one paycheck away from being bankrupt. And so the needs are huge. When you look at education, we have 27 kids every day who are dropping out of high school. And a lot of the data says that and 17% of our kids who are in the eighth grade cannot go to high school because they don't have the appropriate math skills. And what the data says is that they have a higher chance of ending up in jail than anywhere else. So, you know, we sit back and those of us that are so blessed and have all these great resources in our life don't really realize that we need to be doing more to give back and help others in our community who aren't as fortunate. One of the statistics I think is really fascinating is that United Way has a 211 number. Anybody in need can call that number. And, Rick, you want to just guess how many calls they get per day on that phone number?
50.
There are 750 people every day that call that number. It takes resources to be able to staff that and get people to the kind of help that they need. And United Way does, I think, a fabulous job of making sure that happens. We have about 7,500 people who are homeless in Atlanta on any given day. And the, you know, really sad part of that is a significant number of those people are veterans. And United Way is very focused on trying to do what they can to address that. The other thing that I think is pretty telling is that there are, the lack of health care is driving people to emergency rooms, which is the most expensive care that you can get. Last year, emergency room visits that could have been avoided cost this city $830 million.
Phew.
And so if we can do something to provide health care for people, preventative health care, so that they don't have to go to the emergency room when they get sick, so they don't get sick in the first place. But then when they do, they don't go to the emergency room. Think about what that could do to save us all on our tax base.
Well, there are, most of us lay folks and people who work in a job, we don't have time to research all those great organizations that need help. And I would think United Way would be the best way to get involved and to be able to let someone that's a professional money manager manage where these resources are allocated. Keith, how many organizations or approximately how many organizations does United Way support on an annual basis? And what are some of the, you know, homelessness everybody understands and hunger because we see it on the streets every day. But I bet there's some more interesting things that most people aren't aware of that they probably would like to contribute to, but they haven't had the opportunity of getting to know that organization specifically.
United Way, through the last campaign, funded over 220 different organizations.
Wow.
Many of those organizations have been solid in their level of support over many decades and provide critical services like the Red Cross and Scouting and Girl Scouts and many, many more like that. But there's many other organizations that United Way has identified that are vital to the success of any one of those issues that Becky mentioned. And again, I think what is important for us is that the services they provide are services that are solid, that they are reviewed on an annual basis. It's rigorous, and they'll tell you that. And so I think our what we believe is important is how we are able to lift up those that are truly doing some of the best work and get others to emulate that, get them to work together, and get more people to invest in that work. Someone recently at a breakfast or at a luncheon talked about how United Way is like a mutual fund, and it very much is. You know, when you look at each of the issue areas that we focus our efforts on, education, getting kids through into school ready to learn and into college to get careers, babies being born healthy, more access to health care, people are financially self-sufficient. You know, these are the things that guide all the work of many nonprofits in our community. And we try to come together to ensure that the best work is being done, the best work is being coordinated, so that people are assured their money's going to provide the support that they would intend it. In fact, their gift is magnified as a result. So one gift does more than help so many, combined with others, is able to do a lot of good.
That ought to make anyone listening to the broadcast today or perhaps later on podcast kind of excited, because an Investment United Way has a multiplier effect, and it's touching not hundreds but thousands and tens of thousands of people all across our community. And you don't have to do a lot of research. You don't have to do try to find out about each different organization, but you've got an organization, the United Way, that is vetting them for you to make sure they're running under strong business principles, they're meeting the needs of their constituents, and all you got to do is support United Way, and you're touching tens of thousands of lives with your contribution.
Yeah, with money and or time.
And or time, correct. Becky, I want to get back to you for a half second. Again, most everybody knows who you are. I've been privileged to know you for a long time. You've chaired the United Way Initiative a number of times. Although you retired from the CIO of the Southern Company, retired is not in your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. You're on a number of boards. You're involved at TechBridge. You're involved in Women in Technology. And now with your book, you're traveling the country sharing the message from your book, Dare. My question is, when you don't have enough time to probably get up to your place on the lake very, very often, you're still actively involved in United Way. How come that is?
You know, I get great satisfaction out of giving back. You know, and I just always believe to whom much is given, much is expected. And I have a lot of energy, and I just can't think of any place better to plow that energy into than in giving back, and United Way is a great place to do that.
Having had the privilege of reading your book, maybe talk a little bit about how you talk about that in your book, because I know that community service and volunteerism is a big part of what you talk about in DARE. Why don't you just give us a thumbnail of kind of what people could expect to read if they haven't picked up the book and already read it, or if they do it very, very soon?
Well, one of the lessons I talk about is that sometimes it's very difficult to get the leadership experience you need to move to the next career stage inside your company. But an easy way to do that is to volunteer in with a local nonprofit. The nonprofits in this community are starving for leadership, and the skills that we learn being inside a business or a corporation train you very well for the kind of work that needs to be done in a nonprofit. Just, you know, one example I give you, if you're working for a nonprofit, you're going to have a budget you have to manage. You've got people, volunteers, and sometimes volunteers are more difficult to manage than people that report directly to you that are getting paid. So the things that you learn, having to pull those together, you got to go out and raise money. If you have a company, you've got to go out and find new sources of funds to finance it. And so you can get that kind of experience in the nonprofit arena a lot quicker than you can inside the company. And at the same time, you fulfill your own personal commitment to giving back. I just really believe, and Deepak Chopra is the one who said this, the universe has a perfect accounting system. You get out of life exactly what you put into it. Except that I go a step further and say that I think you get back tenfold what you put in. I have just had so many experiences where my life is much richer. I've met people I would never have met if I just stayed inside the four walls of my corporation. I mean, really, that's how you and I became such good friends, Ricky, is through the philanthropic community. And it's been a wonderful way for the CIO community to rally together and CIOs to get to know each other better, and to use the leverage that we have for some good in the community. I think we're extremely fortunate in Atlanta to have the cohesive network of technology professionals that we do. I don't know of anywhere else in the country where people have what we do here in Atlanta.
I have to agree with you, having spent time in a number of different industries, from hospitality to publishing to a little bit of time in television. People do contribute well in Atlanta. Muhammad Ali said, service is the rent you pay for your space on earth. And if I could have the next 15 minutes to begin naming names of important people like you and Sandy Hoffman and Tom Chapman, used to be the chairman of Equifax, people I've met because we volunteered at the food bank or we volunteered at this project or United Way or Atlanta, Atlanta's Table or any number of other organizations, I could spend that 15 minutes and everybody would say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you know that person. I didn't know them because I'd done anything great or wonderful, but just because I stood beside them in the trenches, if you will. And those kind of relationships are really more important than any sales call I ever make because they go much deeper than that. And people have a tendency to do business with people they like. And if you work together on a not-for-profit, you tend to like that person a lot. I'm sure you found that to be true.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that I know you write about in your book, and I do in mine as well, if you want to develop a relationship with somebody, go into that relationship trying to figure out what you can do for them. And when you serve on a nonprofit committee with people, you get to know them in a little bit different arena. And they know that you're somebody who's committed to giving back, and it all comes back. It comes back tenfold.
Amen. Keith, I know this is your first go-round with our group or our technology community, but I know you've spent a lot of time with Carl chatting about it. Kind of what is it like working with the CIO community in Atlanta? Is it I hope it's a positive experience.
Oh, it's tremendous. You know, it when you sometimes I think of you think of some types of professions and you think, well, you know, someone who the typeset of a CIO might be someone who would not be so, you know, so focused and introverted and you know, obviously very smart, but they're very caring. They're a lot of fun. And, you know, the CIOs and the IT leaders that I've been able to be engaged with in the campaign and other parts of the community are just a critical fabric of our community. And I'm enjoying it very, very much. And as I said, it's just been we're so blessed with the level of support we receive from so many, and yet we know we want to work hard to reach out to so many more, and so I think part of our thinking going forward is asking the CIO community, the IT community, what are ways we can help you get more engaged in the work of community, and how can that intersect be in the work we do in any one of the areas we've talked about. How can we develop that plan that lights your fire on what's important, whether it's working with kids in education or in helping on efforts around, you know, financial stability. So I think that's some of the best expertise to bring on as a volunteer in helping in all facets of our work. And right now we're working to make sure we build better relationships across the board, and technology is so vital to that. So I think I'd like to pick the brains of every CIO I see about how we can be thinking about doing it better.
And that's where another organization that we're all familiar with, TechBridge, has done such a great job of helping bridge that for the not-for-profit world. Becky, I know you probably can answer this question as well as anyone since you've been around for all the entire process, but when did Atlanta begin creating the United Way IT initiative, and how is our campaign maybe a little different and unique from some of the other campaigns at United Way? Because I know you're on the big United Way board as well.
Well, one of the things that is unique about this, and I have to say, there is a very committed group of volunteers that serve on the IT United campaign. There are some people who have been on this campaign every single year for over a decade, and every year show up to help us try to raise money and just take ourselves to the next level. We decided, I guess almost a decade ago, that we were going to have a big event every year with some of the top CIOs in the city. And one of the things that would be very different about this event is we would ask the CIOs to come and talk about where were they planning to spend money in the next year, which is something that anybody who sells technology, that's just extremely valuable advice. Also, to talk about What are their expectations of a partner, of somebody that that they're going to select to do business with? And what do they see as the top trends and issues coming in the IT arena? There are a lot of different panels that CIOs speak to, but I don't know of another one where you have this many high-powered CIOs, and they're talking about where they're going to make their investments and who they want to do business with and what they expect out of people that do business with them. Getting access to that kind of brain trust at one time is extremely valuable to anybody in the technology sector. And this year, we've got a great lineup. We've got Dave Barnes, who's the Vice President and Chief Information Officer at UPS, Guido Sacchi, who's the Chief Information Officer of Global Payments, Janet Sherlock, who is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Carter's, Dave Webb, who is the Chief Information Officer of Equifax, and, of course, we'll have the infamous Ricky Steele, the Chief Development Officer of Hunter Technical, who's going to be the moderator.
If I'm not in jail that day, I promise you I'll be there.
But every year we try to change it out a little bit and have a little bit different group. In addition to these great CIOs who are on the panel, we have over 30 of the top technology leaders in this country, not in the country. Some of them are in the country, some of them in the world, but of the ones that live here in Atlanta, there are 30 of them who are actually going to be at this breakfast event on March the 7th. So we're hoping we'll have a great turnout from everybody in the technology community. The one thing that we are asking is that in order to come to this event, we want people who are willing to contribute to United Way, which is a small ask for access to this kind of great information. Plus, it's just going to be a really fun event. It always is when you host it, Ricky.
We have a good time together because, and I think it's because of the caring nature of everyone that's on the panel and most of the people in the community. So it's kind of like a family reunion as opposed to maybe a little more stuffy panel type discussion. We'll have some fun. We'll have some laughs. And fortunately, most of the people in the audience will get a chance to hear things they won't hear anywhere else on any other panel. But I think it's fascinating that you just shared that, and I think this may be the first year because of the great effort by our friend Terry Crump, who was running GCLA at the time, inviting the entire technology community, where it's been more or maybe heavy IT service provider focused in the past. We'll still have all these great, wonderful people and some folks from Hunter Technical and others. But I believe I saw that the CTO of the Coca-Cola company, Jim Schoenfeld, is going to be there, and the CIO of AGL Resources, Joe Serber. And who are some of the other folks going to be in the room?
Well, Lee Crump, who is the CIO of Rollins, is going to be in the room. We've got some Louise Scott, who's the CIO at Georgia Power Company, a subsidiary of Southern Company. A number of the key leaders, not only Dave Barnes, who is the CIO, but also Robin Hensley, who's the Senior Director of Applications at UPS, will be there. And Salesforce.com, Bart Snyder, who's the Regional Vice President, will be there.
Wow.
Chris Norton with VMware. Dan Brown with NCF. A who's who of technology leaders in Atlanta will be at this event. I also want to mention that Jay Farrow, who is the CIO of the American Cancer Society, is my co-chair of this event. And so Jay and I will be there together helping kick off things at this particular event.
Well, maybe direct us back to Keith. Why is the CIO Conversations event so important to United Way that we're having on March the 7th? What does this mean to United Way?
Well, we're so excited about this event because when you bring this caliber of CIO leadership from Atlanta into one place, and the opportunity to for others to not just hear about the things that Becky spoke of topically, but it gives us a chance to build better relationships with good friends, and yeah, we would love to be having even newer friendships and relationships with those in the audience who know very little about United Way. And again, be able to have that conversation about, well, what does a great, healthy community look like to you? How would you like to get involved in that? And how can we help you with that? So we look at this as a great opportunity to meet new friends, cultivate hopefully very excited donors to come together with us to do the good work of community. in all these areas we speak about.
If you were trying to put together an event and or you just wanted to get a meeting with someone like David Barnes or Guido Sacchi or Janet Sherlock or Dave Webb, most people in the technology community, in the supplier industry or the service providers couldn't get that meeting if they're, if it was on their life. And maybe you could meet them somewhere and maybe get a chance to meet later, but just cold calling is not going to work for any of these people. Yet they're going to be in the room, and one of the questions I'm going to ask them, as Becky alluded to earlier, is what are your top three priorities for 2014? What kind of information like that would you be willing to pay for information like that? So I'm hoping some people that agree to come to this event from the service provider community will not only agree to do a campaign for United Way, but do some leadership gifts and hopefully perhaps some projects. I know that Carl has done a number of projects with our company. We actually came out and we made sandwiches one night. So there's a lot of different ways to get involved United Way, but each of us in this community need to be involved. And I just urge, and everyone that's in the audience also gets the opportunity at the end, we open it up from questions from the audience that the panelists are always very, you can't ask them an SEC question that's going to be about stock price next week, but anything that you're interested in, how to contact them, how to create a relationship with them, why they think United Way is important. Having been involved for the last 6 or 7 years, I've seen some amazing answers to some of these questions that have helped me in my career, and I'm sure has helped a lot of the other service providers that, that are there as well. But Becky, you know, you just came out of the CIO position. What do you think some of the issues that Dave and the rest of these folks are facing in 2014 do you think we'll hear about on March 7th?
Well, my crystal ball's not working too good today, but I would be very surprised if cybersecurity does not come up very high on the list. That's something that every CIO is concerned about in today's world. The other thing is, how do you leverage all of the information that you have? You know, big data is out there. What is it that you mine for that allows you to become more productive with the data that you have and more predictive in how you end up running your operations? So I would expect that that those are at least two of the major things that will be talked about with this group. One of the other things I wanted to mention that we will be doing at this group is recognizing some excellence. We will recognize excellence among people who have done a lot of work to help with the campaign, and also the companies that have contributed the most will be recognized, because we want people to know that how much we appreciate it. And sometimes it's the things you do that don't cost anything that are nice. And so while we've got everybody together, taking the time to step back and say thank you and really recognizing those that have delivered excellence will be a key part of this program as well. So it's a little bit of a information, but it's also a celebration.
And I think I would love to first and foremost thank a great IT company who has been the super champion this year for United Way, and that's IBM, and obviously our host for the event. And Pat Filatico has been our United Way campaign chair. So we've been headed up by an IT executive this year, and it's been such a pleasure to work with Pat and her team and everyone around this campaign. So we give a big hats off to IBM and Pat Filatico.
Yeah, she's done a fabulous job, and every year IBM has been a huge contributor and has had people that volunteer as a part of the IT United. Another company that does a tremendous amount for us is AT&T, who every year is our single biggest contributor in this category. Mm-hmm. And it's such a part of their company's culture. It's all built around doing all kinds of fun things inside the company that raise money.
That's right.
For United Way. I think they're such a great model for how other companies could make this not just about giving money away, but about how you do team building and really build the morale within your own organization. People want to work for a company that they know cares about the community that they live in. And there's no better place to sort of rally your troops around and have fun and excitement than to do it around the United Way campaign.
They do a terrific job of it. And in fact, the fun part of their campaign and the way they do special events of all different types, it was actually one of the the biggest increases overall in dollars raised of any company, and just over $100,000 more. And that's just in the fun stuff that people just kind of pull out of their pocket and participate in beyond above and beyond some of the annual pledges that they make in using payroll deduction.
Well, Becky, in a minute, we're going to give a website to tell people where to go to register and find out more information. But from you have been on the panel, you're a co-chair, you've been on the committee every year I've been on the committee. What would you say to a aspiring IT services company about why they should do whatever it takes to be in that room on March the 7th?
Well, I think it's great because they'll get an opportunity to meet some of the top leaders that are going to be spending a lot of money in the IT arena. But the other thing is it's such a great opportunity to network with other people that do what you do. And in my book, one of the other lessons I talk about is that you should look outside your company's walls and find at least five people that do what you do in another company and talk to them on a pretty regular basis. And you'd be amazed how transferable some of these skills and some of this knowledge is. I found that many times I got great ideas that I brought back inside my own company, and, hey, nobody done it in my company, so they're all thinking, gosh, Becky's really smart. Well, I wasn't. I just was really good at relationships and at gleaning great ideas from other people. So it's a wonderful opportunity to do that. Also a great opportunity to build some relationships. I tell people you should never hesitate to invest in relationships because regardless of where you go, your job may go away tomorrow. You take those relationships with you. So those relationships are really a tremendous investment in yourself. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We always have fun when we get together. That's why we have a same core group of people every year who volunteer to come back and get involved. I don't have to spend a lot of time getting on the phone calling people and say, hey, come be a part of this. People call me and want to be a part of it because we have so much fun every year. Same thing with these leaders that are on our panel. They believe so much in United Way. I didn't have to call and coax. I just said, look, are you available on this date? And when I told them what it was before, they jumped at the chance to be a part of this. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. People need to come, need to be involved with us.
So if you want to be involved, the way to get involved is go to www.unitedwayatlanta.org. When you get to the main site for United Way, spend some time, look around, see the organizations that United Way sponsors, the mission, all the great people involved. But then go to the events section or the events tab, click on that, and find March the 7th, and the event is called CIO Conversations. That's CIO Conversations. Or there's a Facebook page for Booth 61 with Ricky Steele, and we'll have all the links there. Also, Business Radio X's website will have all the links, and many of us have been tweeting them and sending them on LinkedIn and Facebook and other vehicles as well. So it should be easy to find information about this if you want information about this. I guess the cost to attend this event is how much, Keith?
Well, that's the unique opportunity for many, is there isn't a price at the door.
Wow.
There's many people who come because, and we want them to come because they've been loyal supporters of United Way, and we want others to come, but to think about not just about being among their peers, their colleagues in this community, in the IT community and CIO community, but to think about what it means to give back to the community. So, you know, that can be in the form of a leadership gift at $1,000, could be something less, could be something even more. And many people in that room who are $10,000 donors to United Way. And they do it because they're passionate about the work that gets done in the community through United Way. So they ought to be thinking about that. It's actually the opportunity for them to give back in a way that maybe they never thought of into a cause and an issue around that we do work on that would be exciting to them. And I challenge people to come to learn about what those could be. And that someone will leave that room ready to pursue that passion. And that's what excites me.
Well, again, even though there's no cost, because we want everybody to be a big tent and everybody gets a chance to attend, we still want you to come with an open mind to United Way. And I know many of the people that I've seen in the room or I've seen on the list of people who are attending have not given yet this year, but I'm certain they will give that day. And especially after I think you hear some of the stories of the CIOs. I will not share the story because it's a personal story, but Dave Barnes shared a story about 6-7 years ago, the first panel that he was on, and if he shares it again this year, I promise you it will touch your heart about how United Way has been so important to him for his entire life. And you'll hear many stories like that. And again, it is somewhat invitation only. You do need to fill out the application, and then it's approved by the United Way headquarters, because we can't open it up for 10, 15 people from one company. It's going to be a limited one or two folks from each specific company, and but we do hope you'll come. We hope you'll participate. Becky, what else would you like to say to the audience before we call it a show? We've been right at about 40 minutes. This is a show that I've enjoyed a great deal, and I'm very excited about what's going to happen on March the 7th. But in final parting, I would like for you to at least, of course, give them your personal website or Twitter account and how to get the great book, Dare.
Well, they can go to BeckyBlaylock.com.
All right.
And that's the website, and you can order the book there, and you can follow me on Twitter at Becky_Blaylock. But I guess one thing I'd like to say in parting is that there's a great leadership expert called Jim Rohn, and he's written a book, and one of the things he says is that you are the average of the five people you hang out with the most. And if you want to have an uplifting and positive outlook on life, hang out with people that are uplifting and positive and have a positive outlook on life. And if you are looking for those five people, I think you'll find them if you come to that event. People that care about the community and people that give back are generally people who have the most upbeat and most positive outlook on life. So if you are looking for some great people to hang out with, if you need an adjustment in your attitude, because your attitude will determine your altitude in life, then come join us and make some new friends at this event.
Keith, welcome to our wonderful city, my hometown of Atlanta, Georgia. We're glad to have you here as part of the Atlanta United Way campaign or headquarters and staff. What would you like to share with the audience as closing? And more importantly, or most importantly, give us how to get in contact with you. And I think you ought to give Carl's email address as well.
Certainly.
So somebody can ask questions if they so desire.
Well, first, let me tell you, I'm excited, proud, and honored to make Atlanta my home now. And for a long time to come. And second, you can reach us. You can reach, I'll start with Carl. It's kjennings@unitedwayatlanta.org. That's the easier one to remember. Mine is kbarsoon, and I always have to spell this out, kbarsuhn @unitedwayatlanta.org. And we'd love to hear from you. That's the best way to get in touch with us. And you did ask a third part of that question. And you, how to get in touch with us, Atlanta. And
last comments. Last comments. Okay. Any last comments.
Any last comments. Thank you. Just that we're looking forward, United Way is looking forward to renewing our relationship with some great people in the CIO community. And we are looking forward to engaging with more of these leaders and hopefully new leaders and to become a part of the work of building a great community where people thrive here in greater Atlanta through the United Way, and look forward to seeing you.
Well, I hope you bring Mr. Milton Little around too.
We certainly will.
He is a hero of mine and a hero of many folks in Atlanta and the president or CEO of United Way Atlanta and a great man that's doing great things for our community. So we look forward to seeing Milton. We're proud to have you in our community now, and an honor to meet you today. Becky, thank you for being here. I can only tell you that I love you, because if I go through the next 40 minutes of telling you all the things that I think about you, everybody will turn the radio off. So I'll just say I love you, and I appreciate all you do for the community, and thanks for taking the time to be here with us today.
Thank you, Ricky, and thank you for all you do for the technology community. You're a tremendous asset to us. Thank you.
I'm honored.
I agree. Thank you.
I'm real excited for this technology campaign, and I believe that there are people listening today and will listen to this on podcast in the next several weeks that will be there on March 7th and will become a substantial contributor to what we're doing in our community through the United Way. This is Ricky Steele, and I've finished my coffee in Booth 61. I always close our time together by sharing a blessing, hopefully for you, your family, and perhaps your business. The blessing comes from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen, and hope to see you on March 7th at IBM.